again, a very important question is that, because when we think about it, okay, so first thing I want to do is protect my mind by not allowing anything in, garbage out. I want to provision my mind with the Word of God, and then I want to purify my mind by meditating on the Word of God and the character of God. Why? Because that God who is all-powerful that the Scriptures tell me about can give me the power to walk in purity. That God who is all-loving is going to love me through the process. That God who is this is going to help me here. But that's not all. Because we also have to prepare our minds. How? By visualizing the effects, the consequences of immorality. See, if you were to summarize the book of Proverbs, Solomon doesn't tell his son, don't commit immorality. He says, son, you're going to have choices in life. There are two women. You know, there's immorality that's going to call you, and there's wisdom that's going to call you. Both of them are going to try to seduce you. If you go here, these are the consequences. Here's wisdom's fruit. If you go here, here's immorality's fruit. But what he's saying to Rehoboam is this. Weigh the consequences before you commit the act. Don't be so impulsive in your decision making. You may choose the wrong road, but at least let it be said you knew what you were getting into. And one of the practices that I like to do is to teach people, saying, you know, listen, the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. So you've had your moment. You know, you've eaten the Esau's stew. You know, you've had those moments when you said, wow, wasn't that wonderful? Now what? Now you leave that scene and you open the door and you look in the back of your car and you see the church bulletin from last Sunday there in your Bible. You think about church. And then you drive home and you turn your radio on and it turns on a Christian song. And Christ alone. How great thou art. What a friend we have in Jesus. He just came from that scene that was so pleasurable, and now it suddenly starts to go, wow, ouch. You go up to your door, you walk in, family are there, sit down at a table, and your wife says to you, will you pray? How do you feel? And she knows something's going on, but you don't say anything. And the kids play with you, and they know something's wrong. How do you feel? You put the kids down, and you go into your bedroom, and your wife is feeling a little amorous, and you say, so you decide to put her off, saying, oh, I'm tired or whatever it is, and so forth. And she just notices as the days unfold that there's something wrong. How do you feel? About a month later, you get a phone call from that other woman. And she tells you that she thinks she is pregnant. Doesn't know for sure. How do you feel? And she says, I'll call you in a month. And then we'll have to talk. How do you feel? And you live through that month and that season. And it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. Into, oh no, there are going to be some consequences. And then she makes that call. And she says, yes, I am. How do you feel? And she says to you, you know what? If you don't pay for my abortion, I'm going to tell your wife. How do you feel? So you make some decisions. Say, oh, things are getting out of hand. I think I need to tell my wife. How do you feel? But before you do, you're sitting there at evening watching television and the phone rings and your wife picks it up. And there's this long conversation, and your wife's not saying anything. And in your gut, you know something's going on. How do you feel? She hangs up the phone and looks at you and says, it was her. How do you feel? She runs in the bedroom, wails and cries. You just sit there on the couch. How do you feel? The kids hear her crying. They run in. Mom, what's happening? What happened? What happened? She tells them. Your teenage kids come out and say, Dad, how could you do that to us? How do you feel? So you pick up a telephone and you call your pastor. Pastor, we need you right now. And he says, who died? No one died. Over in crisis. Please come now. How do you feel? And then he shows up. And you tell your pastor. Your wife is still in the other room. The kids are in the other room with her. They're not coming out. How do you feel? And the pastor says, well, I think you should step down from your position at church. At least for a season. How do you feel? And the weeks unfold and life begins to unfold not the way you expected in that 5 minutes of pleasure thing. Because there was pleasure and sin for the season. And your friends at work find out, and you've been witnessing to them, and suddenly they no longer. You notice something physically starting to happen to your body. You're a little concerned. You go to a doctor and he says, I think you have a sexually transmitted disease. How do you feel? And the doctor says, oh, by the way, we need to test your wife. And day after day, suddenly now, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32 and 33 starts to unfold. Because Solomon said, he who commits adultery has a lifelong reproach. Seven years later, you're driving down the road. You're driving, your wife is in the passenger seat, and you look over and she's crying. You don't have to ask why. How do you feel? Your young daughter starts to become sexually active. And you say, why? You know that's not our standard. And she says, you did. Your son gets married and starts to flirt with a gal at work. And you say, son, don't do it. How do you feel? And I could go on and on and on. And what I just gave you is not born out of one single bit of history, but many that I've counseled over the years. There are consequences. And when you learn to weigh the consequences and ask yourself, every day, I wonder what my wife would say if I committed adultery. I wonder what my children would say. I wonder what the world would say, because Nathan said to David, you have given occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme.